Okay, well, let's get started. So good morning, everybody. Welcome to the presentation of De La Rue's full year results for the year to March 2013. My name's Tim Cobbold, Chief Executive, and with me today is Colin Child, Finance Director. Now, the running order for today is that I'm going to take you through the headlines of the results that we announced this morning and give you some colour and background to them before handing over to Colin, who'll take you through the detail of the financial performance. I'll then return and give you an update on our businesses and the markets in which they operate before providing a progress report on the improvement plan. I'll then conclude with a statement on the outlook. So the results that we announced this morning were in line with the expectations that we rebased in our trading statement in November 2012, following the delays to a small number of important orders. Group revenues were down 8% at £484 million. In our currency business, which faced quite challenging market conditions, revenues were down a little under 13% at £296 million. Banknote paper volumes were 21% lower at 8,700 tonnes, really reflecting some pretty severe overcapacity in that marketplace and the attendant pricing pressure that that brought. Our printed banknote volumes were a little bit lower, 2% lower at 6.3 billion notes, partly due to an abnormally low level of overspill during the course of the year, and of course the impact of those delayed orders that we experienced last year. There was also some evidence of some bleeding of pricing pressure from the banknote paper market into the printed banknote market. In solutions, revenues were broadly flat at £188 million. It was a very strong performance from the identity business, which offset weaker outturns in both cash processing and security products. On a much more positive note, despite the volume and pricing pressures, operating profit was very marginally ahead at £63.2 million. There was a £6 million uplift from improved cotton pricing, and the cost reduction activities as part of the improvement plan delivered £12 million in aggregate during the course of the year. And those two combined to push the operating margin in the business up 1.1 percentage point to 13.1%. And I think that serves to underscore the value of concentrating on the fundamentals of the business despite the volume and pricing pressures. Now, as you'll have seen from our announcement this morning, we have made tremendous progress in our cost reduction activities, and we've raised our overall target for the improvement plan for £30 million to £40 million. Operating cash flow was good at £40 million, but not as good as you might have expected, and that was because of the timing of certain shipments during the course of the year, and of course it's the customer who decides those. And Colin will cover that in a little more detail shortly. Now, the operating line benefited from some favourable movements on the financing line and a lower overall UK corporation tax rate to put earnings and earnings per share 2% slightly ahead at 44.4 pence. As you can see, the board will recommend a dividend, a full-year dividend of 42.3 pence. Now, looking forward, the group's 12-month order book actually fell by something like 16% to £207 million. And on the face of it, it isn't that healthy. However, this is the point that I remind you that in this business, the timing of the receipt of a very small number of orders can make a very material impact on the order book reported at a particular point in time. The order book has risen since the end of March. We remain confident of hitting our operating profit target in the improvement plan. It is true that we face some quite challenging market conditions, but we entered this financial year with a very strong pipeline of short-term order opportunities. Some of those opportunities have already been converted into orders since the year end, but of course others we will have to secure for delivery during the course of that year. And it's that pipeline combined with the increased cost savings that we announced this morning that underpins our confidence in hitting that target. So if that's the headlines, what I'd like to do now is hand over to Colin, who'll take you through the detail of the financial results.
Which one is it? Thank you, Tim, and good morning to you all. As Tim says, I'll take you quickly through some of the results. I hope you weren't surprised when you saw the numbers this morning, because these numbers are coming very, very close to the guidance we gave back in November. If you recall, where we informed the market about the delayed orders, and Tim will come back to those a little later on. So looking at the summarised P&L account, these are before the exceptional items, which historically now we've shown separately. So the underlying results, Tim has taken you through the sort of headline numbers. I won't go through those again, and I'll come back to the revenue and operating profit numbers in a moment on the bridges on the next two slides. But on this slide, I'll just point out tax charge in the year was around 23 to 23.5% effective rate. We expect that to come down in the new financial year to about 22.2, just because of the lower UK rates, but also some housekeeping that we're doing elsewhere in the group. But we're not doing a Google or an Amazon or anything like that. Not that they're doing anything wrong, of course, but we're not in that category. Tim's touched on the earnings and the dividends, so I won't go into those. But just on the volumes at the bottom of the slide there, again, very much in line with the guidance we gave back in November. I think at that point I said that we thought printed notes would be about 6.4. We've come in at 6.3, so I hope you'll say that's close. Paper volumes down a little bit. I think the guidance I gave in November was for about 9,000 tonnes of paper, and all that's happened is that one small shipment has actually gone out in the new financial year rather than last year. But otherwise, very close to the guidance that we gave at that time. So look at the revenue. You can see on this slide the bridge from last year's number across to the 484 for this year, and clearly the single biggest movement has been within the currency business, driven by the volumes and the pricing that the market conditions have impacted on us. So big drop there in currency. Cash processing solutions, in the first half we were actually a little bit ahead. We were up compared with the prior year in H1, down over the year as a whole. Again, this is reflecting firstly, the timing of a delivery of an order. Tim will come back to that later on. But also one large order in the second half, which was quite a tactical play for us. It was for a new customer. We wanted to get quite a few machines in there, so we actually priced those machines very, very keenly to win the order. And the key thing there was to actually not only win the order, but also win the ongoing service revenues over many years subsequently. And we were successful with that, but it's had an impact on their revenues and their operating profit in the year as a whole. I'll come back to that in a moment. Security products, their revenues were down. The mix within that, though, was quite good. So you'll see their profits were up on the next slide, but really driven by the rate of call-off from some of their customers during the course of the year. Star performer in the year, though, was Identity Systems. So good performance. If you remember at the half year, we reported good performance on the international part of that business. That's continued into the second half. And the UK passport contract continues to perform well. The revenues and profits on the UK passport part of the business have been flattered a little bit because we rolled out to the 7 regional sites for the passport agency their personalisation solution to be able to issue passports locally, or at least in 7 sites locally, during the course of the year. So that has flattered profits and operating the revenue and operating profits in that division. So moving on to operating profit. Here you can see there the big impact on mix and volume in the year, £17 million down, and that's allowing for the netting effect of the good performance in IDS. Cotton price, Tim mentioned that we had a £6 million benefit on cotton prices overall. There's a graph later on in one of Tim's slides, and you can see it's actually now gone well past the peak and flattened out, still slightly above historic levels, but well down on previous period. We're not really expecting much. It's going to be a modest impact or benefit in the new financial year, but not anywhere near that significant because we're really now into a flatter line for pricing, and we expect that to continue. But then you look at the next 3 bars. They're the process improvement, procurement, facility optimization, the site relocation where we closed two of the sites. And you can see there £12 million of benefit in the year. That's on top of the £8 million of benefit that we enjoyed the previous year. So in aggregate, for the year as a whole, a £20 million benefit. So really tremendous momentum there. And Tim has already mentioned that we've increased our target for savings in the new financial year, really driven by that momentum that we're capturing there. So overall, as we said, it was going to be similar to last year's number. It's come out remarkably similar, very close number at £63 million again on the operating profit level. So what does that mean in terms of our cash flows? The 3 things on this slide I want to point out. Firstly, working capital, the pension contribution, and then the cash cost of the exceptionals. Now, at the half year, if you remember, we had an adverse movement of working capital of about £25 million. And I think at the time I said that we'd expected that to largely correct itself and improved by the year end. Haven't quite got there because we've got an adverse working capital movement for the year as a whole of 14 million. And that's really a function of the debtors. Debtors at the year end were slightly higher than we've been forecasting. And that reflects a number of shipments that sort of bunched up together and went out in period 12. So shipped just before the year end, cash came in just after the year end. So debtors were a little bit higher. We had been expecting some of those shipments to go out in periods 10 and 11, but they were delayed at the customer's request to period 12. So that's had an impact there. On special pension fund contributions, this is where this year we've paid and charged, and therefore it's 1 year's worth of contribution of £16 million, which it is going forwards to eliminate the deficit. The previous year, we'd effectively paid 1.5 years' worth because we have this ability to do a bit of housekeeping at the year end because we have a moving year end. Last Saturday of March, we can often pay some just before the year end and then some just after, but still before the 31st of March deadline that we've agreed with the regulator to make the payment by. And it just gives us a little bit of timing benefit on the tax deductions. So going forward, this new financial year, we actually expect to do some of that housekeeping. So we expect the payment in the new financial year to be about £10 million. And then finally on this slide, cash cost of exceptionals. We've only charged £7.6 million to the P&L for exceptionals in the year. But the cash going out, as we've closed the factories and incurred the redundancy costs and closure costs, is now starting to go out. So these costs were provided in the year before, cash going out in the current year or year just ended. So what does that do for our net debt? We closed the year with £77 million of net debt. Again, the guidance I gave at the half year was for about £90 million of net debt, so clearly a bit better than that. I'm always going to be a little bit cautious and have a bit of headroom, but that's lower than we'd been forecasting. And that is despite the timing issue around debtors. But we had slightly lower cash spend on capital expenditure. You can see the £37 million there. That was a little bit lower. Just the timing of installing machines was a bit slower than we'd expected by the time they're tested and approved and accepted by us. So that helped with the cash payments. But also we had some advance payments from customers come in just before the year end that were a little early, and that's helped keep the debt at the year end down. On the right-hand side of the slide there, you can see the calculation of the cash conversion, which is on our basis. We're actually looking at this definition because we've had a number of comments from shareholders around whether or not to include capital expenditure in there. So we might look at that next time, but we'll show with and without next time if we do decide to show it differently. But you can see up in the top right-hand corner, what does that mean for us? Our cash conversion was about 55% for the year, a little bit lower than we were expecting because of the debtors. Quite good rather than being as good as we would have liked it to be. We do expect that number to go up in the new financial year. And on the bottom of the left-hand side there, you can see we've shown you the covenant calculations. Some of the bank representatives in the room haven't yet got the certificate, but you'll be getting that in due course. They'll have these numbers on. So plenty of headroom within the covenants that we need to meet within our revolving credit facility. So I should have added just on that last slide, in terms of guidance for net debt at the new financial year end in March 14, we're expecting that to be about 90 million. We'll be higher than that during the course of the year, but we expect to be about 90 million at the year end. So finally, exceptional items. As I said earlier, we've charged 7.6 million in the year, bringing our total charges under the improvement plan to about 32 million. So still within the revised target. If you remember this time last year, we pushed the total cost up to about £35 million, so we're still within that and are still expected to deliver our exceptionals within that £35 million. We've enjoyed a little bit of a tax break on the charge in the year, £2.1 million, but over and above that, we've had some legacy issues unwind in the year. These were provisions for tax on disposals some years ago, no longer needed, so we've released those provisions, but as they were charged to exceptionals years ago, they've come back through the exceptional line, so they're not in the current tax charge. Now, we've spared you, but happy to take questions later, we've spared you a slide on IAS 19. We've put the numbers in terms of the expected impact for the new financial year in the statement. So rather than have a mass exodus as you all rush for the door because of IAS 19, if any of you have got queries afterwards, please do come and have a word and I'll try and answer them. As I say, we spared you a slide, and I'll hand you back now to Tim.
Thanks, Colin. So now I'll take you through the business and the markets in which we're operating. Oh, here we go. Just by way of a reminder, we now look at De La Rue as having a currency business and a solutions business. Now, for now, we continue to provide you with information on the constituent parts of solutions that I hope will aid comparisons with the prior year and also help understanding going forward. Now, the currency business accounted this year for something like 60% of both revenues and profit. That is somewhat lower than the historic norm, and the reason for that is simply the relative underperformance of currency in comparison to the solutions business through the course of the year. And you might note down at the bottom that Identity Solutions provided just over a quarter of the group's profit this year, probably something that you haven't seen before. So now let's start on the currency market. Every year, something like 150 billion banknotes are produced in the world. Of these, about 85% of them are produced by central banks in their own state print works. That leaves the market to commercial providers like De La Rue at about 15%. Now, each year, a number of central banks which have decided to produce their own banknotes have a requirement that exceeds their installed capacity, and they look for the commercial providers to meet that excess requirement. We call this overspill, and in both the pie charts on the slide, it's denoted by the green segment, the grey segment on the pie charts. Now, the level of overspill is highly variable year to year. It can be less than 1% of the market or grow above 3% of the market as a whole. But what's important is that it is always a large proportion of the market that is available to commercial providers. And that is one of the underlying reasons why you see volatility in the volatility that you see in De La Rue's currency business over the years. Now, turning to look at substrate, you see an exactly similar picture, except that the proportion supplied by the commercial providers is much larger, and that's simply because of the capital intensity of the processes involved. Something like 96% of the substrate market is paper-based, with 4% supplied in a polymer form. And we expect the proportion in polymer to grow over the long term. Now, we've known for some time in the paper market that it would move into a period of time when it was in oversupply, where there was excess capacity. And that certainly happened with a vengeance during the year that we're just reporting upon. Two of our competitors introduced new lines of capacity, and that consequential step up in capacity put the market into oversupply and brought with it some quite severe pricing pressure, in some cases as high as double digit. Now, the market has seen this before, and what progressively happens is that step up in capacity is eroded as, over the long term, the volume of banknotes in the industry grows. Nevertheless, in this interim period, the pricing pressure has brought some challenges for certain players in the marketplace. We've certainly seen cash flow challenges in a few cases, and one of our smaller competitors actually became insolvent during the year. Now, perhaps not unsurprisingly, given that the substrate is quite a significant proportion of the cost of a printed banknote, we've seen some bleeding of the pricing pressure in the banknote paper market into the printed banknote market, which has certainly become more competitive during the course of the year. And interestingly, we've also seen that the lead time expectations of some of our customers are reducing. So clearly that serves to emphasize the importance of all the work we've been doing in terms of operational excellence. And I'll cover that in a little more detail when I give you the progress report on the improvement plan. Now, the never-ending battle against the counterfeiter is a battle that is fought with technology. And the features, the security features that are derived from those technologies, whether they be applied features, so the sorts of foils and stripes that are applied onto a banknote, or whether they're the premium threads that are incorporated within the substrate when it is produced, that is a marketplace that we see will grow nicely over the next five-year period. It's one of the reasons that innovation is such an important part of the improvement plan and indeed to the long-term future of De La Rue. But it's also important to De La Rue because De La Rue is an integrated provider. We're able to provide the fully featured banknote incorporating all our own technology, as well as being able to sell our own features and technology direct to central banks, either the state print works or in some cases to the state paper mills. Now let's have a look at the market over the longer term, and in particular how De La Rue has performed. The chart at the top here shows that our printed banknote volumes over the last 15 years or so. The dark green element of those bars is the proportion of that year's volume that was provided from customers who overspill. Now, I think when you look at that chart, the first thing you see is the variability that we have seen historically in De La Rue's currency business, and there is no reason to expect any different going forward. I think, secondly, if you look at 12-13, you can see just how small overspill was last year. In fact, both in proportionate and in absolute terms, we hadn't seen that lower level of overspill for at least 10 years. Look at the chart on the bottom left. This shows the recent history of the volumes of overspill in the market. It reconfirms that 12-13 was a very low year in the market. But looking forward, we have good confidence, and we have that confidence because we're talking to the central banks who will overspill, that we will see good high levels of overspill in 13-14, and of course with a little less certainty in 14-15. Now, if that's the picture in the longer term, now let's have a look at shorter term performance for the currency business. Now, the trend line on the top left of this slide I've shown, I think, in every presentation that I've made on De La Rue. As a reminder, it shows our printed banknote order intake on a six-month rolling averaged and indexed back to March 2010. The dark green line shows the profitability on those orders, and the light green line shows the sales that will be derived from them when they are delivered. Now, if you look at the more recent periods, you can see some of the impact of a more challenging market. But for the first time, we've included the period after the end of March. So we've included April and May, and you can see the trend line kicking upwards. And that's as some of the opportunities that were in the pipeline that I referred to earlier have been converting their way into orders. Now, nevertheless, at the end of March, the currency order book was down something like 14%. It's the 12-month order book when compared to the equivalent point last year. At the risk of being a broken record, please remember that the timing of certain orders can materially affect the order book reported at a particular point in time. I think, really importantly, the geographic distribution of our sales remains very good. If you look on the bottom left-hand side, I think it's one of the strengths of De La Rue that we are able to operate right across the world. And our market shares throughout this period have remained very robust. So if that's a look at the currency market and the business's performance in it, now let's turn and have a look at solutions. Now, I think on the face of it, it was a bit of a mixed bag from solutions, though I'd point you to a very significant growth in the operating profit, which probably says overall for solutions it was a very successful year. As Colin has intimated, the standout performance was within the identity business, where we saw strong sales and profit growth, in part driven by a very strong performance in our international business. Operationally, the UK passport programme is progressing very well, and I think we provide excellent service to the customer, though, of course, in the end, the only judgment there that matters is the customer's. And what is certainly true is that our UK passport programme is proving an excellent reference for winning export business overseas. Now, when one turns to look at security products, revenue fell, and the principal reason for that is a lower call-off from one of our major OEM customers. That said, profits grew quite strongly, and if that sounds a bit sort of counterintuitive, one of the reasons for that was that security products benefited disproportionately from the savings in the improvement plan. One of the two factories that we closed was a security products facility, and the cost savings resulting from that are reflected in the profit that we have reported. Really importantly for the future, we launched during the year our first government revenue solutions programme. Government Revenue Solutions are what we used to call tax stamps. We did that in the Cameroon. That's a project that we won at least a couple of years ago, and it's taken more than a year to implement. But as we move forward with that, both us and, of course, the Cameroon government will enjoy the benefits of that, and it's a very important reference for us going forward, and I'll return to that very shortly. On the face of it, for cash processing, the business took a step backwards. However, we did have one very large, significant order and installation which wasn't finally signed off, and until it's finally signed off, we can't take the profit. As a result of a decision by the customer, and it was really a product to some of the difficulties of working in that particular country. And if that order had been signed off, you'd have seen a very different picture in terms of the numbers. Cash processing continues to focus on its ECM business intelligence software, because that's the software that drives reductions in the cost of processing cash, which companies like Vaultex value very highly. So if that's the sort of current picture on solutions, now let's just have a look at some of the longer-term growth opportunities, because we do see some interesting opportunities in this marketplace. First of all, in terms of passport renewals, over the next 5 years, we will see countries progressively migrating from machine-readable passports to the e-passports. And for those countries that have already switched to e-passports, they did that a little while ago, we expect a wave of renewals of those. So with reasonably good confidence, we expect this marketplace to grow over the next 5 years. And with our reference site in the UK, we think De La Rue is very well placed to be able to take advantage of that. Secondly, in government revenue solutions, the World Health Organization, through its FCTC protocol, which was issued recently and to which over 140 countries have already signed up to, that protocol requires that countries implement track and trace solutions so that they can monitor the movements of alcohol and tobacco throughout their countries. And of course, it also enables them to maximize the indirect revenues that they get from duties on alcohol and tobacco. So we can say really with very good confidence that we will see this part of the marketplace grow quite strongly over the next 5 years plus. Now, a word of warning here, this is a lumpy business. The sales are long and complex, primarily because it involves so many government departments in any given country. And certainly, as we saw with the Cameroon, the implementation period is quite long. So whilst we're confident about seeing growth, I think you can count on the fact that it won't be quite as smooth as the chart on the right-hand side perhaps suggests. But the overall message here is that within these parts of the solutions business, we think there are good opportunities for long-term growth going forward. So if that's an update on business and markets, I'd now like to give you a sort of progress report on the improvement plan, as I have done at each presentation since we launched it. First of all, a reminder, we set up the improvement plan to build on some fundamental strengths in De La Rue, but also address some pretty significant opportunities for improvement. And you all know that we set quite a clear goal for us. I'm sure one of you, some of you, are beginning to wonder about what the follow-on strategy will be. Well, it's well advanced in terms of our preparation of that strategy. And if you think about some of the things I've just covered as I went through each of the markets in solutions and currency, I think you'll get some key pointers to what will be important elements of that strategy going forward. But we'll be ready to share that more fully, which is thinking about the best way of doing that, during the second half of this financial year. The improvement plan was built around four pillars. Two of them, customer focus and innovation, were primarily aimed at generating revenue growth. And two of them, professionalism and operational excellence, had as their focus cost reduction. What I'm going to do, as I have done previously, is give you an update on each of those four pillars. Starting first with customer focus. Well, country plans are truly embedded within our sales planning process now. They give us a more strategic perspective on the opportunities for all of De La Rue's products and services in a particular territory. And by way of some nice but smaller, admittedly, examples, in Barbados, we've just redesigned the new family of banknotes for the first time, and it's the first time that's been done in 40 years, in a territory where we also produce the passports. We're very pleased to have worked with the Reserve Bank of Fiji to launch their new series of banknotes. And that was particularly important for De La Rue because the Fijian $5 note is the first polymer note from De La Rue that has gone into circulation. The family was released during December 2012 and went into circulation early in this year. So that was customer focus. Next one is innovation and design. Right at the centre of a lot of the work we've been doing in innovation has been our work on the polymer product. We call that Safeguard, very well launched into the marketplace, and really important to get that first reference. We have three further notes that will go into circulation during the course of this financial year, and a really good, strong pipeline of opportunities. Customers have said to us they can't believe the rate of progress that we are making in the development of our polymer note. The equipment that we need to install to give us capacity to produce at least a billion newts a year is well advanced. You can see it from the picture there. And we have a really exciting pipeline of new security features which we'll be able to apply to the polymer substrate. So all going very well there. You'll recall that we set out a year and a half ago to build a new technology centre. Well, that's really well advanced. And that'll be ready for opening during the course of 2013. And the business is very pleased to win what I know is actually its 12th Queen's Award. In terms of design, business continues to win design awards in the industry for its design capability. We have a design team of something like 40 people, easily the biggest in the industry. But what we've been trying to do is complement that design flair with introducing tools and techniques that make sure we embed quality into design at the time we are producing the designs. We call it manufacturing-led design. So we think that's a key competitive advantage for us going forward. So now turning to operational excellence, and in particular, first of all, process improvement. Everything we're doing in the process improvement space is about improving quality, reducing our cost, and improving our delivery adherence, and reducing our lead time to meet those increasing expectations of customers. We call this QCD. That is firmly embedded within the language of De La Rue now. In the quality space, what the techniques we are using is to bring tools and techniques that have been very proven in other industries and to bring them into our industry for the first time. And we've been working a lot on that over the last 12 months, and we've seen the aggregate of our internal and external quality complaints fall by 60% during the period as a result of having done that. And there will be more to do on that front. In terms of reducing cost, in aggregate, we've reduced the cost by reducing waste in particular and improving efficiencies by about £8 million per annum over the first 2 years of the improvement plan. And that's a programme which is gathering momentum, and you'll see more of that in particular during the current financial year. We've relaid out many of our facilities and modernised them. We've reorganised the management structures and delayered them. And we've worked with unions and with employees to revise the terms and conditions in those facilities to enable us to be more flexible in the face of more demanding lead time expectations from our customers. Now, in a sense of talking about delivery, I'd like to talk about a case study. Right? We were very pleased to have won the contract to supply the new family of Libyan banknotes during the course of the year. That contract was finally signed in the autumn of 2012, and we actually delivered the first banknotes, so designed and produced, and then delivered the first of those banknotes ready for the second anniversary of the revolution in Libya on the 13th of February. The ability to deliver to time is very important to our customers. In terms of investment, over the course of the 3 years of the improvement plan, we will invest something like £100 million into the business. And throughout, the focus has either been to support innovation or to drive up productivity, increase throughput, improve the delivered quality of the business. And you will see this continuing through the rest of this year, really important driver of cost improvement. But you should expect this to become part of this business going forward in the period beyond the improvement plan. It doesn't end in March 2014. In procurement, this is a programme that we got on with very quickly when we started the improvement plan. We originally targeted savings of something like £12 million. We've raised that target now to £15 million per annum, I should add. And most of those savings have been generated by consolidating the supply base and looking for a price advantage from doing so from our suppliers. And clearly that has been quite successful. You can see the progress that we've made. But for the longer term, what we sought to do is also complement that with a supplier development program working with our top 25 key suppliers. And that program essentially has two parts. The first of it is an SQA process, all about improving the quality of the product delivered by our suppliers. Clearly, if the raw materials into our process are of better quality, we are better placed to be able to provide quality to our customers and to reduce the levels of waste within the business. And that is already proving quite successful. It is the first time it has been done in the industry, and we set targets for those suppliers as to the level of performance we want to achieve, but also point out that there is a grade A status, which is starting to get a business near a world-class level. And of course, ultimately, that's where we'd like all our key suppliers to be. But the second part of that development program, we call supplier relationship management. And in that case, we're looking to work with some of those key suppliers jointly in partnership on the development of new security features so that we can accelerate the rate of innovation and also accelerate the rate of penetration when we have something innovative and new. So a really important part of the program, we've built a very good capability in that area to do that. And you will see that grow and become a feature of us going forward beyond the life of the improvement plan. Down at the bottom right, I've just put our experience of the cotton coma pricing, and I think that gives some weight to the view that we're saying is that that has, you never quite know with markets, do you, but there is a degree of stability now in that, and that you've probably seen most of the benefit of the improved cotton pricing since the spike of 18 months or so ago. Of course, we've closed two factories over the last 2 years and relocated those operations into existing De La Rue facilities. That's why we saved money in doing it. And I can tell you that in their new locations, they're already outperforming operationally what was happening in the old location. So they proved very beneficial, both from a cost point of view as well as from an operational point of view. Savings will be about £6 million a year. That's now locked down. And the first £3 million of that, we enjoyed £3 million worth of savings in the 12-13 financial year. So you'll see an increment of a further £3 million worth of savings in the 13-14 financial year. The final element here speaks really to professionalism and about process standardisation. And we put a lot of time now into looking at the entire process from bidding for a piece of business, receiving the inquiry, right through to supplying and fulfilling the requirement for the order. We call this the process design, and we're in the process of redesigning that. And the whole point in doing that is to be able to build quality in right throughout that process and also to reduce lead times. It's amazing when you look at the length of time it actually takes to convert an inquiry, obviously into an order, involves the customer, and then from receipt of an order actually into being able to meet the requirements of the customer by delivering in time and full for the customer. Now, that's a programme that we've done a lot of work on, but it's quite material, surgery is not quite the right word, but material development of the process, and that too will continue beyond the life of the improvement plan. And you'll see that generate, I believe, quality improvements and indeed cost advantage as well as delivery improvement. Now, if you've all found that a bit sort of qualitative and woolly, what I've done together here now is brought together the cost savings in a sort of nice ready reckoner for the analysts. So just a reminder, we originally said cost savings of £30 million at an exceptional cost of £25 million. That's what the improvement plan said 2 years ago when we originally launched it. This time last year, we explained that we thought that the exceptional cost would be a little bit higher at £35 million. And because of the momentum we've got in those cost-saving programmes, particularly process improvement, which when you think about it is always going to be a bit of a slow burner, it's going to build momentum, and in procurement, we've raised our cost-saving target to £40 million. So the rocket scientists among you will have realised that that therefore means that you should expect something like £20 million worth of cost improvement in the 13-14 financial year as a result of that. So I hope that helps bring together the constituent parts of the cost savings. So now I'd like to turn to turn to the outlook. Well, as I said right at the beginning, it's certainly true that we face some challenging market conditions. But we've entered this financial year with a really strong pipeline of good short-term order opportunities. And that's been driven by the higher levels of overspill that I explained to you earlier. Now, some of those opportunities have already converted into orders in the 2 months since the end of the year. But of course, we must secure further opportunities for delivery during the course of this financial year. But we confidently expect good volume growth during 13-14. And if you combine that volume growth with the incremental £20 million worth of cost savings, that will help those of you who are trying to bridge the gap between £63 million reported for the 12-13 financial year and our improvement plan operating profit target. And all I'd say is when people are looking at trying to back compute the sales is just remember this is quite a highly operationally geared business. But in terms of the outlook, it's that combination of a strong pipeline, the prospect of good growth, combined with increased cost savings that underpins the board's confidence in achieving our improvement plan operating profit goal. So with that, I'll just say that this year also celebrates De La Rue's 200th anniversary, quite an achievement for a business to stay around that time. And just in case there are a few customers listening, I always remind everybody that a business stays around because it has the excellent support of its customers. So with that, thank you very much.